You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's here. It's here. It's finally here. Regular season meaningful basketball games are back. The Pacers return to action to take on the 76ers in the continuation of the regular season. Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we're going to break that all down. As always, I'm Tony East, one of the hosts of this show, covering the team for Forbes and the West Indianapolis Community News. Today, we're talking Sixers, and of course, that means Adam Aronson is here from the Rights to Ricky Sanchez. I want to say it's a podcast, but it's not just a podcast. They do everything. He covers the Sixers and has for forever. His name on Twitter is @SixersAdam. That's how ingrained in the Sixers he is. Adam, welcome back to the show for the third or fourth time this season.
Yes, thank you. I'm a frequent here and on Locked On Raptors with Sean Woodley. I seem to always be popping up.
You're a Locked On friend. You're not even a friend of the pod. You're a friend of the network. So, yeah, of course, the first game of the season is the one that we have to get the most nitty-gritty on, because for both of these teams, right, it's the most important game.
Yeah.
Full stop. We did a whole podcast about the Sixers' desires of their seeding and where they want to finish in the whole league. Like, this game is really important for both teams, especially if they want to play Miami in the first round. Having that control will be huge. So how's it going to happen? Well, we'll have to see. But the first thing, and you've already kind of hinted me on this, but I don't know if my audience knows, Joel Embiid missed two scrimmages with an injury. So what is his status and injury situation right now?
He's dealing with some calf soreness. They haven't said exactly how it happened, but I'm pretty sure it was a play in the first scrimmage. He kind of got his feet tangled with actually a ref and took a bit of a hard fall. Stayed in for the rest of the first half and then didn't play the second half of that game. But according to Brett Brown, he is expected to play on Saturday night. The Sixers will have their crown jewel ready to go.
Yeah, Miles Turner had a similar calf injury, missed like three practices at full speed and a scrimmage, but he was ready to go too. So I'd imagine Joel Embiid will be ready to go 100%, no problem. Miles recovered very quickly, but that's the key matchup. And I know I'm jumping the gun, and I like to ask that kind of questions, but Embiid just gives Miles every fit in the world, four fouls in the first quarter kind of stuff. And in theory, Miles being able to stretch out the floor and pull Embiid even one step farther from the basket seems like a good thing. But no matter what the Pacers have done in this matchup, it just has not worked.
Yeah, I mean, Embiid is, you know, just an expert at drawing fouls. And Miles Turner, who I love, because I love guys who can protect the rim and who can space the floor as bigs. But Embiid has just given him the work, because Embiid's so much bigger than Miles Turner. It's so much stronger. Usually we see the Sixers put Ben Simmons on Miles Turner, and Embiid, you know, it used to be Thad Young, who I also love, Embiid on Thad Young so that he can stay closer to the rim, even though Miles is the center. He's not always, you know, necessarily the fifth worst shooter on the team because he could really shoot it. So, I mean, it's unclear who will start at the four next to Miles. I don't know if you have any insight into that or if that's become clear.
I do. it's going to be TJ Warren with Sabonis out. They're just going to slide in Aaron Holiday at the 1-2-3 hybrid look positions, as I will now call them, for him, Brogdon, and Oladipo. So, the Simmons TJ Warren battle will be fun, I
think. Yeah, right. So they don't have that option now, because you're obviously not putting Embiid on TJ Warren or any of these other guards/forwards, whatever you want to call them. So that is going to be an advantage for the Pacers, and that, you know, they're either going to get Embiid to, you know, surrender some paint opportunities by tracking Miles Turner out to the 3-point line, or maybe Embiid just stays and lets Miles get some open threes. And the Sixers' hope would be that Miles misses a few and then he starts to get hesitant and he starts passing up shots. But if he starts hitting them, let's say he makes two threes in the first quarter and Embiid starts having to run out there to track him, all of a sudden you can have somebody like Warren or Malcolm Brogdon get to the rim and you might not have to go up against Embiid when you're there.
Now, fortunately for the Sixers, and Caitlin Cooper's been all over this because she is much more astute at seeing what's happening on a basketball court than I am or anyone is, They've been using Miles more like they had Sabonis in actions where he, you know, slides into areas to be available for a pocket pass or, you know, dives instead of pop. He still pops. He's Miles Turner, but he doesn't do it as much as one would like. That is his skill as shooting. So perhaps the Sixers can get away with, you know, he only took 2 threes in all the scrimmage games. He took 2 total threes.
Oh, wow.
One in each game. So that is where the Sixers might be able to evade that, is that the way they're using him in this more five-outy group is more like Sabonis than they should, which is very frustrating. And in this game specifically, like you just said, like if that's how they can mitigate at least Embiid a tiny bit, you have to go for it. And I would be surprised if they do, given how they play in the scrimmages, but it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, I mean, the Sixers kind of in the Toronto series in the playoffs last year, Embiid was on Pascal Siakam for a lot of it. So they had Tobias Harris on Marc Gasol, and obviously that's a pretty big size discrepancy. And basically what they did was, like, they had Tobias stay, you know, sagging off of Gasol, even though he's a capable shooter, because Marc is just so, like, it's ingrained in him to move the ball and such that he, like, wasn't always popping it, and then sometimes it would kind of stall Toronto's offense. So definitely Miles should be ready to, you know, if there's a pick and pop with Brogdon and he's open for three, he should be ready to let it rip.
Let it rip. So the Sixers, for those unaware, and I'll have Adam chime in a second here, but they have removed Al Horford from their starting five. Huge Philly news after he was their star signing of the summer. I know some of it was about crippling Boston as well, but still quite the change for them to pull him out of the starting five. So now it's Embiid, Simmons at the four, although he still plays point guard with other units. Tobias Harris, Shake Milton, and Josh Richardson. I think that is where Sabonis being out is actually the Pacers match up a little better, right? The Sixers size has given the Pacers for years because their guards have just been tiny, tiny, you know, Darren Collison, Corey Joseph, Aaron Holiday guys. Now that they've shaken there to put Aaron on and have a 6 foot out, 6 foot mano a mano, I think the straight up matchups are a little bit more interesting now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm particularly interested in the Simmons versus TJ Warren matchup. Simmons is, he's gotten a lot of credit for his defense this year, and obviously that's warranted. He basically guards 1 through 4.5 at a high level. He's really tremendous on the ball. He sometimes has lapses off the ball, but overall he's a huge plus. Yeah, exactly. And so having him against TJ Warren is probably the one I'm most interested in seeing, other than Joel versus Miles, which part of me is just like someone who loves Joel Embiid. I'm always excited for Joel versus Miles Turner. As it's produced, enjoying results for me in the past. But Warren has had a really good year, obviously, and Simmons is one of the best perimeter defensive players in the league and one of the most versatile. So I am really excited to see that. Plus, they have a common enemy in Jimmy Butler.
That is true. Yeah, ever since Miles flipped off the crowd in Philly, I just know Embiid gets to him, right? Like,
yeah,
he's never done anything like that before. That just blew my mind.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure those guys are actually like close friends too. I don't know exactly what the connection is there, but I'm pretty sure that they have a good relationship, which makes it especially interesting.
Yeah, some USA Basketball stuff.
Okay.
So I think at least. But yeah, so to me, the Horford pull from the starting five made a lot of sense, right? Again, I get that some of it was about pulling him from Boston, but he just didn't really fit with both Simmons and Embiid, and he can. He just likes to be 18 feet and in more than he likes to be behind. This is my take. Obviously, you're the Sixer guy, but
yeah,
he likes to be 18 feet and in, and they need him to be a spacer. But now he's with the second unit a bit more. How does that look so far with Horford as the lone center?
It looks a little better. I mean, the big thing is really just improving the spacing in the first unit, kind of like you said. Horford and Simmons and Embiid, all three of them together, is kind of just untenable offensively when, you know, Horford is, for a big man, is a high volume 3-point shooter, but in the general scheme of things is not. You know, you're around maybe 3 or so attempts per game. And then you have Embiid, who's, you know, the best low post scorer in the league, and you have Simmons, who is initiating the offense and refusing to shoot. It just wasn't gonna work. Horford and Embiid together without Simmons has worked at times. Sometimes it's been a little weird, as you can imagine. Simmons and Horford together without Embiid has been good. And then Simmons and Embiid without Horford has been great, as it always has been, you know, before Horford got here. So, you know, having like Shake Milton there, who can initiate offense, he can dribble, he can pass, he can shoot. Like, that's a sentence that we have not been able to say about any Sixers guard, if you're not counting Jimmy Butler, in like 7 or 8 years. And I know that sounds crazy, especially for the, like, to someone following the Pacers when you guys just have a ton of guards. But the Sixers really haven't. And like, seeing Shake Milton like take a pull up three and making it was
a lot.
Like, it
That's
was, thing. Yeah. I mean, to see a guard like drop 39 points against Kawhi Leonard and Paul George on primetime ABC NBA is just crazy to us, because it's been so long since we've seen real good guard play. And not that Shake Milton is a superstar or anything, but, you know, having at the very least a competent and capable real point guard who can shoot and pass, can play off of Ben Simmons and can initiate the offense on his own, is huge.
Are you worried about there being too much pressure on Shake Milton, a sophomore who's played 52 total games, and they're asking a lot of him in that starting five?
Right, and so that's kind of the issue, right, is that it's been plainly obvious forever that around Simmons and Embiid, you needed another guard who can initiate, and then you needed shooting. And they stumbled into Jimmy Butler when they decided to go star hunting last year, but then they lost Jimmy, they replaced him with Horford, and so now they don't have it. And now, you know, Shake Milton, they made a great pick. He was, I think, the 56th overall pick in 2018. And now they have a real guard. But, I mean, this is a second-year guy. This is his first year on an NBA contract. He was on a two-way last year. And they're now, like, in the guts of a playoff game, they're going to have Shake Milton bringing up the ball. And as much as I love Shake, and I've always been a fan, even pre-draft, I thought he should go in the middle of the first round when most people were saying not. I mean, that is just way too much to ask of him. And so you're running into a situation where now there are these – unfair expectations and unfair demands being made of Shake, when really there's just a big roster construction issue.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think he's good. Again, I like 45% of his threes drop, and he takes quite a few of those off the bounce. He's a good player, but yeah, it's a lot to like throw into the starting lineup in the unique situation that restarted already. But we'll see. But the Horford on the bench calls another question about the rotation, right? Because Mike Scott is not in the rotation, I think. Right, he didn't play very much in the restart.
Yeah, he didn't play any real rotation minutes in the first few games. He did in the last game, but Embiid was out, so you take it with a grain of salt. Basically, Horford is going to be the backup center, and then like barely, he's going to take like a small amount of the backup 4 minutes, and those extra minutes might be what takes Mike Scott out of the rotation, because usually the power forward minutes are going to Tobias Harris. The majority of the time, even though he is the starting small forward,
right,
they like to slide him up. That's where he definitely fits best. That's where he was when he broke out with the Clippers, and that's where he was in the very successful starting lineup last year.
Yeah, and GR3 better still be in that rotation. Pacers, brief Pacer legend, GR3.
Yeah, he played well in the first scrimmage, but he did get hurt, and he hasn't played since.
Oh,
it seems like
why didn't I know that?
It seems like he's going to be ready for opening night. Haven't gotten official word on that yet, but I mean, it does make sense. I'm of the opinion that he's going to get the first crack at it. Alec Burks has played well over the last two scrimmages, but GR3 gives a level of comfortability with his spot-up shooting, especially from the corners, and his cutting ability, which is even more useful with Ben Simmons playing more in the high post now. So I think GR3 will get, you know, whether it's the first crack or the second crack, he will get a chance at forming, you know, a real rotation role for himself as they go to the playoffs. And I think he will be able to do that.
Hey guys, with the regular season just around the corner, basketball is on the move. You're going to have to do your chores during the day now, which means you have to drive places, and there's no better way to keep your car up to date and up to standards then going to rockauto.com, because chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics to do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. They always offer you the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear for the specific part that you need. RockAuto.com is for everybody and has all types of stuff for all types of vehicles. Does not require a membership or account login. It's a family business. They've been around for over 20 years. They've got literally anything you could need for your classic daily driver or someone who doesn't know as much about their car. It's perfect. Delivered directly to your door. Go check out RockAuto.com for reliably low prices. Go write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know that you came from us. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at RockAuto.com. Well, let's flip the script here. We've gone through quite a few Sixers players and their rotation. I do this to you a lot. What matchup, especially with dynamic lineups for the Sixers, right? There's going to be some different matchups than a typical Sixers-Pacers game. Are there any matchups that you think the Pacers will be able to exploit to their advantage?
Probably is my initial thought. I mean, Miles Turner is, as you said, like he doesn't shoot enough. And I wish I came up with something that wasn't harping on something we already talked about, but really it can, if he just is willing to like, just let it fly from three, it can really change the way the Pacers operate offensively if he makes a few. Because you're then either, Embiid is either saying, okay, like I'm not running out to the perimeter. This guy who's already made two threes in the game, he's feeling himself. He can keep shooting. And who knows, maybe he just, you know, he finds some sort of hot streak that day. Or Embiid says, okay, I guess now I've got to track him out to the perimeter. Then if Embiid, who, you know, might be the best rim protector in the league, might be the second or third best, depending on how good you think Rudy Gobert is. If you can get him even, you know, a few steps closer to the three-point line with someone like Brogdon who can get to the rim, especially, you know, if he's guarded by Shake Milton, for example, who, you know, is good and smart, but isn't, you know, the lightest on his feet. Like Brogdon definitely can get by him. Then you're at an advantage with Embiid, you know, trying to recover on the weak side and they might not get there in time. So, you know, I hate to, you know, talk about it for a second time, but I really do think the Miles Turner dynamic of this, of potentially being able to pull Embiid out of the paint, is probably, you know, of any matchups in this game, what the Pacers can exploit the most.
Yeah, he needs to shoot five or six in this game, probably more if we're being honest. But
yeah,
four is his per game number. I mean, getting it up to twice that would be awesome. But yeah, five or six for sure pulls Embiid up a little bit. I'm glad you brought up Brogdon because for all the struggles he's had this year, he's been pretty good, actually very good against the Sixers. I mean, that's probably his most consistent. He got hurt the second time they played on New Year's Eve in the first quarter, but the other two times he played very well. And some of that was matchup stuff, but he just is up to the task against this team. I'm curious to see how he does and who the Sixers put on him because, you know, like I said, the Aaron Holiday, Brogdon, Oladipo 1-2-3 stuff makes it a little hard to figure out exactly how the matchups will shake out going both directions in this game. I'm imagining Josh Richardson will be on him, but he might be on Depot. I don't know, actually, now that I say it out loud. But
yeah, it's going to be difficult because, you know, Brogdon plus Depot plus Warren are three guys that you want to commit high-level defenders to, but the Sixers only have two high-level perimeter defenders. So one of those guys is either going to face Tobias Harris or Shake Milton. My guess is that Milton guards Brogdon, Richardson guards Oladipo, and Simmons guards Warren. But Brett Brown is not, you know, someone who's rigid in terms of, you know, positionality. He doesn't care if Malcolm Brogdon's a point guard and Josh Richardson's a shooting guard. And, you know, he's just looking at the ability and length and such. And you know, if he feels like Ben Simmons is best utilized on, you know, the starting point guard, he's going to do that. So it's kind of unpredictable. If I had to guess, I would say it'll be those combinations.
Now, the wrinkle we didn't bring up is if Depot is not playing, which for those listening, I don't know if it's been announced. We're recording this at 1:45 p.m. on Thursday. So I'm guessing he'll announce it at about 2:03 whenever we're done, but at a few minutes.
Right.
But yeah, if he does play, obviously, he's a tough guy to guard. He played pretty well and one in about half the time in the scrimmages, the other half he struggled. But if he does not play, you know, it's not even clear who the fourth starter is going to be. I would guess it's Jakar Sampson, but it process legend Jakar Sampson, by the way.
Oh my! I mean, you're going to have, you know, a legitimate contingent of Sixers fans rooting for the Pacers because of Jakar in this game.
He has been playing backup center very well for the Pacers.
Oh, love it.
I does not.
We remember point Jakar being the exciting thing. Now he's, you know, playing backup center minutes on an actually good team.
That might be his natural position in the modern NBA, a 6'7" backup center. But
yeah, we're all proud parents of Jakar over here in Philly.
The other guys, Edmund Sumner moves into the starting five. That is what I would do, but TBD. I love Edmund Sumner, but again, we'll see how that shakes out if Depot doesn't play. I don't know what he's going to do. Either way, the matchup for me, and this isn't even a matchup, this is a group-on-group thing, it's just when Embiid's out, I think the Pacers' second unit is going to have a wonderful time because they've been playing amazing all season long. They carried that into the scrim. I mean, they were scrimmages. They were junk. Like, Andre Roberson was killing the Sixers. Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen in a real game. But, you know, their bench was, I think, fifth or sixth in total scoring and like ninth in plus minus. Again, that's just what their second unit does. And it was modified. They had 10 guys. And like I said, they had Jakar at center. And they, again, they added an extra guy. So the fact that they were still good, I think that group's going to maintain its regular season form in these games, which is huge because it just pummels teams, including the Sixers. And another process guy, McConnell, you know, he's just been probing into the lane, finding shooters in the corner. I think if they can continue to get McConnell working with Justin Holiday and Doug McDermott off ball in the second unit, I don't know if the Sixers are going to be able to keep up with that group. I mean, obviously their starters have an advantage, but I think that's where the Pacers can shift this game, is if their second unit can just pummel the Sixers bench, which is something I bring up with you every time because the Sixers bench usually isn't very good.
I mean, last year with an NBA bench, the reason they lost that series to Toronto is because they couldn't find, you know, a third guy on their bench who could play. They basically, you know, 80% of their bench was unplayable. And, you know, James Ennis and Mike Scott both gave them good minutes. So now that it's like a real NBA bench, a lot of people have just kind of dismissed the Sixers bench, saying it's not much of an issue. Just because it's not incompetent like last year's, it's still not great. They definitely have enough guys where if somebody clearly doesn't have it, they can shuffle someone in. There's going to be a bit of a roster crunch. They have some issues with, you know, finding the right combinations, which ultimately is a good problem because it means you have enough guys who can play. At the same time, nobody who you can really say is a sure thing to give quality minutes. Even, you know, Furkan Korkmaz, who's probably been their best bench player this year, which is a crazy sentence to say now. You know, he's someone who, you know, let's say his shots aren't falling, he makes a few turnovers. He's someone who, you know, isn't going to get brutalized on the defensive end, but he's certainly going to be a minus, especially a team like this where they have so many quick guards you can get by him. So, you know, there's no sure thing in terms of bench production from the Sixers. They do have quite a bit of guys who you can take a shot with, and I guess the hope is to kind of piecemeal together, you know, enough minutes to get by with, you know, the random assortment of players that they have. But the bench is still an issue, and the Pacers bench has been very good all year, so I tend to agree with you there.
Is it going to be very lame when this game is just like, who shoots better from three between Turner and Korkmaz?
Yeah. Yeah, just both of them firing away. Just have them play one-on-one.
That would be a weird one-on-one game. I think Turner would win, yeah, but I'm not as confident.
If I could pick any game of one-on-one, I would pick TJ, obviously, for the Pacers. And for the Sixers, I think I would pick Ben just for the hilarity of it all. Like, neither of them shooting threes, TJ somehow still getting his like contested 14-foot falling away jumper that goes in every time, and like he will totally go at Ben. That's very much an aside, but the idea just appeared in my mind, and now I'm very excited about it.
I would love TJ Warren is the best one-on-one player the Pacers have. Well, Sandsvik have had in a while. He is very good.
Yeah,
he played very well against the Sixers this season too.
He did.
So, yeah, we'll have to see. I'm really excited for this game, both just to have basketball back and because it's so important. And I think we'll learn a lot about both of these teams, right? Where their flaws are, stuff like that. So, the big question that I always make you answer: who's winning?
I will take the Sixers. The Embiid playing aspect of this plus Sabonis being out, there's a clear path to the Sixers being able to consistently generate good shots, get to the foul line, and score points. You know, if Oladipo plays, then they're, you know, viable paths for Indiana to put up points for sure. Especially, you know, we don't know as of, you know, as of this prediction, but it's just generally, I mean, especially given Embiid's history against Miles Turner, I think a safer bet that he'll be able to, you know, whether it's dunking on him or score or hitting face up jumpers or using his rip through that I'm sure Miles and every other center in the NBA hates.
Yeah.
And then it gets to the line. I just think there's an instant offense factor. There's a reliability with what the Sixers have versus the Pacers personnel that leads me to think they'll win this game. But it honestly wouldn't surprise me if Indy won.
I think I'll pick the Sixers too because of Embiid, one of the best, what, eight players in the NBA. I mean, that's a big deal. And especially one who just destroys the Pacers. Again, 15 free throws in that first matchup that they won this year. He just, yeah. They don't have an answer to stop him at all. He's just so good on both ends, really. And part of Warren playing well in that game was he would stop and pull up from 10 feet instead of going in and beat. And he made literally every single one of those. So I get why you think that more than other teams do. And he is amazing at that shot. But he, like, every single one went in that game. I think he was 15 for 18 from the field. So, you know, they have to game plan around Embiid, and that's hard for a team that plays inside out. Now, again, no Sabonis, so maybe they'll play a little differently. But, yeah, they're adjusting too. I mean, just Embiid's presence alone is tough. And even with Simmons' limitations, he's amazing too. So I also think the Sixers win this game. But it could be a close one. And to be honest, the stuff that makes this hard is in the flow of the regular season, right, teams are slumping, teams are playing well. Like, literally anything could happen in this game, which makes it hard.
Yeah, and especially since it's the first game. Really, right. Like, honestly, nothing would surprise me. The Sixers could come out and just totally lay an egg. That would not be at all unlike them to just, you know, be totally low energy and just get out-executed and out-hustled. And you know, it would you know, be very Sixers-y to lose in that fashion to T.J. McConnell. and TJ would give everybody on the Sixers bench so much crap the entire game, which honestly, now that I imagine it, I'm kind of rooting for that to happen just to see TJ run his mouth to the Sixers bench. But yeah, I mean, there's so much variance here. We don't know what to expect with these Orlando games. But I mean, I'm very excited to see. I mean, it's, you know, first game, most important game for both teams. So it should be fun.
It's going to be very fun. I'm excited to see which process legend the Pacers scoop up next. Maybe Tony Roten will come be an important bench
member. Oh, my God. If you got Tony Roten, that, like, I think I would have to become you would have another co-host named Adam at that point. I would change my Twitter handle to Pacers Adam. I would move to Indianapolis, and I would just watch Tony Roten and Jakar and TJ. And I would be totally happy.
Yeah, they've already gone through quite a few of them. Thad, LaVoy Allen. Now they have Jakar, yeah. McConnell. Yep. Evan Turner was a Pacer before this. Weird Evan Turner.
He was, stuff, yeah, he was, yeah.
We don't talk about the Danny Granger trade, actually. I shouldn't have brought that up.
So, yeah, well, honestly, neither do we.
Fair enough. So we'll see if there's any other process legends available next year. But Adam, maybe for the last time this year, thank you for coming on and talking about the Sixers.
Thanks as always.
It's going to be fun. Get excited for this game. We'll, of course, recap it all next week, maybe on Saturday, depending on if we feel like doing an extra episode. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll see you soon.